So this is Thanksgiving Sunday, and so let me wish you all once again happy Thanksgiving. It's a wonderful time of year to do that, but we should be giving thanks every day, don't you think? Not just once a year. But this is a wonderful time of year. Great fall weather, beautiful colors in the trees as the leaves die. You know that's what's happening, right? The leaves are dying, but God has, even in that, brought beauty out of that with all the colors. Behind our house, some of you know, is Westminster Ponds, and we have a big ravine right behind us and full of trees. They are such bright colors this year through the whole woods back there. It's very beautiful to look at. No need for air conditioning. A freshness in the air. And a great opportunity to rejoice and praise God for his provisions. Even if you don't have a farm or a garden and have gathered in the harvest, we can still rejoice in what God provides for us. We city folk can and must give thanks to God for his care and the beauty of his creation. And we're going to listen to a couple of Psalms, but let me just interject at this point that we need to be thankful to God for the truckers who bring the food to the grocery stores for us and the farmers who grow those foods that we eat. I heard somebody say that, you know, with our Prime Minister and his net zero emissions, climate change and all that, it's basically going to kill the farms. And somebody had said, well, we don't need the farms. We got grocery stores. That's where the thinking is. But listen to the Psalms. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. And Psalm 140, verse 13 says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. You can read through most of the Psalms and find that call to praise, an admonition to thank the Lord. And the psalmist is insistent. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You can read that statement, that admonition, in Psalm 105, verse 1, 106, verse 1, 107, verse 1, 118, verse 1, and even Psalm 136, verse 1, is the call to give thanks to the Lord. The admonition in that short statement is, give thanks to the Lord. All capital letters in our English Bibles, the Hebrew word Jehovah. There is no other one who is deserving of the gratitude of the believer in Christ. No other being, no other small g God, no other person, only Jehovah God, the Lord, is worthy of our thanks. That's the admonition. The appeal is, why should we do this? Well, the appeal is, for he is good. He is good. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 17, when the rich ruler came to him and said to him, sir, what must I do to be saved? He called him good. And Jesus came back to him and said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. That is God. Jesus was not denying the fact that he was good or even God. He was actually exclaiming to this person that he himself is God in the flesh. So that's the appeal. Why do we thank the Lord? The appeal is for he's good. And the affirmation in the statement is, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. The term mercy is the Hebrew word chesed. It means loving kindness or favor. And in Psalm 86, which you're all memorizing, verse 5, we read, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So, what should we do? Give thanks to the Lord. Why should we do it? Because God is good. And what makes God so good? Excuse me. His mercy endureth forever. And you know that mercy is not getting what we do deserve, right? Not getting what we do deserve. God is, his mercy endures forever. And he's willing to forgive when we come to him, confess our sins, repent of it, and trust him, trust the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. What great mercy is his. Now, Thanksgiving in our country has been and still is all about harvest time, right? Still all about bringing in the harvest and the food that has been growing and brought in at harvest. So rejoicing in the harvest is really what Thanksgiving's all about, for its plenty, and also maybe just rejoicing in the fact that harvest time is over. And the farmers can take a bit of a break. So here's a little bit of history for Thanksgiving Day. This comes from webholidays.com. They say, harvest celebrations have been around a long time. Ever since the very first harvest, people have given thanks for a prosperous bounty. The first formal Canadian Thanksgiving was held just over 40 years prior to the Pilgrims landing in Massachusetts. I can never say that word. An English explorer named Martin Frobisher had been trying to find a northern passage to the Orient. He did not succeed, but he did establish a settlement in northern parts of North America, and he did celebrate a harvest feast. This is considered the first Canadian Thanksgiving. Then in 1957, Canadian Parliament announced that on the second Monday in October, that Thanksgiving would be, and I quote, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. That's right there in the declaration of October, the second Sunday or second Monday in October for Thanksgiving. A day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. I like that, don't you? Maybe we should remind our fellow Canadian citizens to whom we should be thankful, eh? Maybe remind our Prime Minister as well that Thanksgiving is a day to rejoice and thank Almighty God for the provisions he makes through the farms. During the American Revolution, Americans who remained loyal to England moved to Canada, where they brought the customs and practices of the American Thanksgiving to Canada. There are many similarities between the two Thanksgivings, such as the cornucopia. Do you know what that is? That horn plenty. And the pumpkin pie. So, can't have Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie, I suppose. According to one Canadian resource, the Canadian table usually features venison and waterfowl over turkey. However, a professor from Durham College tells us that in southern Ontario, eating waterfowl or venison at Thanksgiving has never happened, and that the turkey and or ham is the featured food. And then, conversely, another person adamantly states that when he was young, wild duck or goose was always served for Thanksgiving. And if they were fortunate, they had venison as well. This was a common practice in that area at that time, according to webholidays.com. Have any of you eaten venison? Yeah, do you like it? We had it once, didn't we?
No, we had moose.
Oh, it was moose, yeah. Andrew Barker, Dr. David Barker's brother, we got to know them at Bible school our first year, and they invited us over for dinner and served this meat. They didn't tell us what it was. It was brown. But then after dinner, they said, how did you like it? We said, it was, oh, okay. What was it? Buffalo.
No.
Oh. It was moose, yes. It was a little tough to chew on, but we didn't die from that anyways. The normal fare is turkey or ham, I guess. And whatever you have going on tomorrow, I trust it'll be a great day for you. Whatever we might eat or remember on Thanksgiving Day, even Kentucky Fried Chicken, if that's what you like, or Swiss Chalet, don't forget, this is a time for thanking God for his provisions and his blessings upon us. You know I like to refer to Webster's 1828 English Dictionary. It defines every single word that we find in the King James Bible, 1828. He has this submission for Thanksgiving. He says, Thanksgiving is, number one, a public celebration of divine goodness, a day set apart for religious services, specially to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in any remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or in the ordinary dispensation of his bounties. The practice of appointing an annual Thanksgiving originated in New England. And we, since 57, we have the second Monday in October. So a little bit of background to Thanksgiving Day. In the New Testament, and we'll look at these verses, there are some wonderful examples of thankfulness. So let me invite you to turn to Matthew 15. We'll look at a few passages. In Matthew 15, verse 32 to 38, we read this. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him, 15 verse 32, and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And Jesus and the disciples said unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes. And what did he do? He gave thanks to his Father. He broke them, gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And so we see in this instance the Lord Jesus giving thanks to his Father in heaven for the provision of seven loaves and a few fish, and then multiplying them to feed over 4,000 people on that hillside. And praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus knew who he should be thanking for the bounty and the provisions. In Luke 22, verse 17 to 19, we have the Lord Jesus Christ once again thanking his Father for the bread and for the cup at the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. Right. That's Luke 22, 17 to 19. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me. But he thanked his Father for the provisions of those communion elements that we remember once a month around the table. And then over in John chapter 11, what's that all about? Who's it all about? Lazarus, that's right. Jesus and his relationship with Lazarus. If you come down to verse 41, Lazarus has died. He's been in the tomb for 4 days already. And Jesus finally comes down from where he was up north in the land, came down to Bethany. In chapter 11, verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. That's Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. All beginning with Christ's thankfulness to his Father for hearing him and then acting in a manner that would bring Lazarus back to life. All of these instances are grounded in the thankfulness of individuals to the Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father, for what he has done. And then let me give you one more at this point. In Luke 17, 11 to 19. This is a great account that Luke has included in the gospel. Luke 17 and verse 11 says, it came to pass as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Just pause here for a moment. For those 10 lepers to go begin their journey to the priest meant that they trusted what Jesus had said. They obeyed what he had said. He said, you go to the priest, which is founded in Old Testament for the lepers, that they would go to the priest to confirm their cleansing. And so when Jesus said, you go, they went, which means that they trusted in what the Lord Jesus had said. When you come to verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And so here, even in this instance with a Samaritan leper who returns to give the Lord Jesus thanks for healing him. A Samaritan. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans because they considered them basically half-breeds. They were half-Jewish, half-Gentile. All kind of the result of the captivities that happened early on in the times of the kingdom. But one of them came back. He was healed, and he realized he was healed. He knew he was healed as he began to go to the priest in Jerusalem, and he came back to Jesus, a Samaritan of all people, coming to Jesus, falling down at his feet, and giving him thanks. A despised, hated, contemptible, low-life Samaritan. And yet here he is, humbly, worshipfully, sincerely, totally abandoned to, not to himself, but to the Lord Jesus. He's on his knees, giving thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, who healed him of his disease. That's right, isn't it? That's what should be done. And he models that for us. The reality is, this cleansed and thankful Samaritan leper was a rebuke to the self-righteous, snubbing Jews, especially the Pharisees. Do you want to know what the thankfulness of a Pharisee was like? Do you? No? Well, I'm going to tell you anyway. Luke 18, the next chapter, verses 9 through 14. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Here you go. God, I thank thee that I am not like other men. Like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I can see him pointing at the publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the Pharisee's prayer of thanksgiving is, thank you, Lord, I'm not like all these other people, even this publican over here. But his self-righteousness would not allow him to humble himself. Well, I would suggest to you that that's a bad example of thankfulness on the Pharisee's part. I hope you agree. I like the Samaritan's example, right? Turned back to Jesus, knelt before him, gave him thanks for healing him, praised the Lord, whereas Pharisees, they're only interested in self and thanking themselves. What kind of thankfulness should you be expressing in your life today? That of the Lord Jesus, as he knows the Heavenly Father is blessing him and allowing him to do all of these miracles and to help people in their need? Or that of the Samaritan, when we realize that apart from God's grace and his mercy, you know, we would be in desperate need like that leper. But when God works in our lives and brings us to himself, perhaps even healing in some instances, the first thing that we ought to do is to go to the Lord and thank him for his grace and mercy. Or do you want to be thankful like the Pharisee? Think that you got it all together and you're so proud of self. And I don't think the Lord heard that prayer, even the thanks from the Pharisee, but rather he heard from the publican. So which one would characterize your thankfulness today? I think you know what that would be. So now the scriptures use the word thank, thanks, thanked, past tense, thanking, thanksgiving, thankful, thankfulness, and thankworthy some 139 times in our Bibles. 68 in the Old Testament, 71 in the New Testament. You will find those words in the various forms of those words. Do you know that the word thankful and thanks is one of the Apostle Paul's favorite words? It's one of his favorite words. He uses it in every one of his epistles that we have in our New Testament, except for in Galatians and Titus. 46 times altogether in Paul's letters, he uses the word thanks and thankfulness. That's a great character trait to have, don't you think? And he expresses it always through his epistles, but also through his prayers on behalf of people. Whenever he's preaching the word of God and the gospel, he's always giving thanks. That's a great character trait to have. I think one that perhaps we would all want to emulate a little bit in our own lives. Now, here's a few things about giving thanks from the Apostle Paul. Okay, from the Apostle Paul. And if you want to look up the verses, you're welcome to do so. Or if you just want to write the reference down and check them out later, you can do that too. From 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul writes, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Right? To triumph, to be victorious. And thanks goes to the Lord God because he is the one who causes us to triumph in Christ. So I would say to you that thankful people are spiritually triumphant people. Or perhaps we could say it the other way around. Spiritually triumphant and victorious people are a thankful people. We love to give thanks to the Lord for what he does in our lives, right? For taking care of us, to help us grow in the things of the Lord, grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Christ, of his word, and the proper thanks needs to go to God who causes us to triumph in Christ. I like that. So, thankful people are spiritually triumphant people. Secondly, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God will passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." So in our praying, we make our petitions, we bring our praises, but we do so with thanksgiving to the Lord. So I can say thankful people are praying people. You can also turn that around and say that praying people are thankful people. Right? Whenever you go to the Lord in prayer, I'm sure that one of the things that you say to him is thank you for whatever it is that you're dealing with. And you remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. No, sorry. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And thirdly, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those three things go together always. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. In every situation, for all things. So as we connect with the Lord, we need to rejoice, we need to pray, and we need to give him thanks. Thirdly, from Paul's letters, in Colossians 2, verse 7, we read, "Rooted," and he's writing to the church, to believers in Christ, "rooted and built up in him," that's Christ, "and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with," you got it, thanksgiving. Right? "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Thankful people are grounded in the faith people. Right? Grounded in the faith, thankful people. Number four, I think it is. Hebrews 13:15. Yes, I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Not everybody agrees, but that's fine. He wrote in Hebrews 13:15, "By him, therefore," that's by Christ, "let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." What is that? He says, "That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Thankful people are praising God kind of people. Right? love to praise God, to thank Him. It's a sacrifice that we can make to Him, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His wonderful name. In the fifth place, Ephesians 5, verse 20, Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks always for all things. And that prayer goes to God and the Father in the name of Christ. So we can say that thankful people are discerning people. Thankful people are just looking for all of those things about which we can thank the Lord about in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're discerning, and we can see what's happening around us and all the situations, the circumstances, whether it's from our human perspective, good or bad. Whatever those things are, we can look at them, and we're discerning enough to give God thanks for all of those things. Giving thanks always for all things, right? Unto God and the Father in the name of Christ. So thankful people are discerning people. We're looking always for those things about which to thank the Lord in the name of Christ. Just a couple more. Number six, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. I'll read the verse and you'll probably wonder, what in the world you got that in there for? Let me explain. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is the characteristic of the last days before Christ returned for his church. We see it all around us today. You don't have to look very far to see that kind of attitude and character. But we can say this. Thankful people are counterculture people. We're not willing to abide such awful and sinful qualities in our lives as we see going on in the world around us. In these last days, we are counter-culture. You know, this world is not our home, right? As believers in Christ, our citizenship is where? It's in heaven, right? That's where our home is. We're just passing through here. We are to live our days to honor, to glorify Christ, to let others know the gospel of Christ and seek to win them to the Lord. But this is just temporary. For us, our real home is up there, so we don't need to abide by the cultural characteristics of a lost world in the last days. We can live counterculture. Not that we try and, you know, we're not out there to try and change the culture. God has told us what it's going to be like, but we can get to individuals and help them to understand their need of a Savior because of sin and to trust Christ. But in ourselves, we live counterculture. Culturally, all in accordance to the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ. Thankful people is what we want to be, not unthankful people. And finally, in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do, right? And we trust that as believers we are doing what is right in the sight of the Lord in obedience to His word. But whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And I'll just remind you once again of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if you're wondering about what God's will for you in your life is, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, actually 16:17-18, is an indication of what God's will is. Right? Rejoice evermore in everything. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we are called to thanksgiving, to give thanks to our Heavenly Father in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We are commanded to be thankful in so many verses in the Scripture, you just can't escape it. We are even created to give thanks. to the Lord God, because he is the one who has indeed created us to be thankful people. And then just a reminder that thanksgiving is for all things, physical, spiritual, I say environmental, because God's still in control of this planet that he has created. Thanksgiving is focused. It's directed unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scriptures give us certainty as to how we are to give thanks. So I say to you this morning, be thankful, because that is what God wants of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. And we know that there are so many places throughout the entire Scriptures that admonish us and exhort us to the giving of thanks. We see it patterned in the examples of many folks that are included in the Scriptures, and we thank you for that. Gives us good examples as well that we can follow for us in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that you do work in us in such a manner that we can detect those things by which you have put your hand to in our lives, and that we can respond in all of those things by the giving of thanks to you for that which you have done. I pray that you would just help us here at Berean and in all of our sister churches and all the churches across this land, across the world, that know you and as Lord and Savior, that teach your word and preach your word and the gospel, that we all might be thankful people, and the world around us, which is so unthankful, might see the difference in us as believers in Christ, a thankful people, and perhaps want to make inquiries as to why that is so. Help us to be always ready with an answer to give to them who may ask of the hope that we have in our lives in Christ. Thank you for your word, and I pray that maybe through the course of this day, rest of this day, on into tomorrow, that you would direct us into places in your word that speak of thanksgiving, and that we would be quick to do that, giving thanks to you in and through the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.